But hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzi Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Hey, you know, I always love that Trae Young guy. You know, people ripped him a couple years ago. They're really making a lot of fun of him, saying, you know, he looks like a lollipop that fell on the ground and got some hair stuck to it, you know, that kind of thing. And I just got to say, that was mean. That was really mean. He's a great guy. Really appreciate him. Really love him. Because he's giving Joel Embiid more time off to heal his sprained knee with the win that they had against the Celtics last night. Did you watch that game? Did you see that game? Did you at least catch the highlights of that game? Did you see a tweet about the game? Because Trae Young went off in the fourth quarter, especially with 3 minutes left when the Celtics were up by six. Trae's like, yeah, I got this. And he was every ounce of Trae Young that we hated in that seven-game series 2 years ago. Boy, did we hate him. And now, you know, I kind of like the guy. Forces another game against the Celtics, which gives Joel Embiid now, instead of Saturday, they're going to play Monday, get some more time off to heal that ailing knee that he is suffering from, unfortunately. It is a gift. And now when you talk about a 3-2 series lead, you know what I'm talking about? Let's see, 3-1, where they're going to win 4-1. It's a gentleman sweep by the Celtics. Now you're talking about potentially this Atlanta Hawks team. Oh, maybe they found something here, which is just feed Trae Young as much as possible. Maybe also the fact that Jason Tatum couldn't throw the ball in the ocean last night. He was 1-for-10 from beyond the arc. Maybe that helped just a little bit. It helped a lot. But the Boston Celtics couldn't close it out. It's a step in the right direction for the Sixers. Let's put it that way. Things are falling into place. One little domino hitting a slightly bigger domino, And hopefully the dominoes keep on falling in favor of the 76ers. So great to see the Sixers get a little bit of a break last night when it came to that Hawks and Celtics series. Also, Phillies didn't get the break last night. They couldn't get the big hit. Bijan Robinson, he wants to come to Philadelphia as far as I'm concerned. So we'll talk about that today. John McMullen will be joining the program from Jacob Media, from Birds 365, which follows this program. John McMullen, also of Sports Illustrated, Philly Voice, covering all things Eagles. He'll join the show today to talk all things Eagles, of course. So that's what we got on tap today. But the first thing that I wanted to get into was the fact that Trae Young actually helped the Sixers out last night. And man, that was a nice thing. That was a nice thing to close my eyes to before I went to bed after I finished the post-game show last night after the Phillies lost. It was a nice thing to go up and watch Trae Young just handle his business. And the Celtics have no answer. Celtics had no answer. It was awesome. Let's get into that Phillies game because it was a bit of a rough one yesterday. It just came down to not getting the big hit. I know there's plenty of games. There's plenty of things you could watch. There's plenty of things you could try to dissect about this Phillies game and say that, you know, Bailey Falter could have been better. Connor Brogdon could have been better. A lot of guys could have been better in this game. The fact of the matter is they couldn't get that big hit. Like, they had some offense. They got three runs. It wasn't like a abysmal performance by the Phillies offense. They had some decent pitching. It wasn't a terrible outing. Three runs, six innings. Literally call that a quality start in the big leagues. So there was nothing that absolutely infuriated you other than the thing that has infuriated us a lot. And they even had two of these, which was hits with runners in scoring position. JT Realmuto had one. It didn't score a run, unfortunately. And Jake Cave had the other. It did score a run. But they got two hits with runners in scoring position last night, and it amounted to one run. The 2-for-7 that they were with runners in scoring position amounted to one run. The difference in the ball game, beyond question, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's an easy one, is in that sixth inning, Trey Turner leads things off by striking out. Then up next is Kyle Schwarber, who gets hit by a pitch. So now you have a runner on first. Nick Castellanos then gets a single. You have runners on first and second. You have one out. JT Realmuto steps up. He gets a single. That's a hit with runners in scoring position. A runner in scoring position. And JT Realmuto, unfortunately, could not plate a run in that scenario. They decide to hold Kyle Schwarber at third base. So now you have bases loaded. You have the bases loaded with one out. You're down at this point in the game, 4-1. Hernandez had just hit the two-run home run in the top of the sixth inning for runs 2 and 3 on Bailey Falter. So you're watching that unfold, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, this isn't good. No bueno here. And then the Phillies load the bases with one out, and you're like, all right, All right, maybe they got something coming. Ooh, Alec Boehm coming up. And who has been banging the drum for Alec Boehm to get a promotion in the lineup? Me. What did Alec Boehm get yesterday? Promotion in the lineup? That's what he got. Runners all over the place. Sharply hit ground ball on the first pitch. Looks like it's going to be a two-run single. Looks like it's going to eke into right field. And it does not. The ball is hit sharply, directly at Ty France, the first baseman, who's playing well off the bag. He's doing what's called now the modern-day version of the shift, where your first baseman is actually in between first and second and almost on the grass. He makes a great play with nobody covering first. He flips to second, and they get an out. A run does score, but instead of having the big inning there, you now have a runner. You have runners at the corners with two outs. And after Boehm stepped up and got you at least the RBI, squeaked out an RBI, Eddie Sosa, who already had a blast earlier in the game, a solo home run, unfortunately, but a home run nonetheless, Eddie Sosa steps up and strikes out, ends the threat. Phillies only get one run out of that scenario, and it's a 4-2 ball game after that. They, of course, tack on a run by the guy that's now referred to forever as the big dumper, Cal Riley. He gets a triple off the top of the wall and right. He later scores on a sac fly. So it goes, they go up 5-2. Brandon Marsh got on base in the seventh inning. Pache tries to butt him over. It almost leads to him getting picked off. He later would get doubled off first base. So now instead of having a leadoff single, a runner on first base that you're worried about or thinking about scoring, rooting for scoring, hoping scores, you now have nobody on with two outs. So that's where you are at with that scenario. The game goes on in the ninth inning. Phillies are down 5-2. Boehm leads things off with a double. Sosa steps up and has a bunt attempt. Still trying to figure that one out. Ends up having a swinging bunt, a little dribbler in front of home plate. He advances Alec Boehm to third base. Then you have Jake Cave step up and gets the RBI single. And unfortunately, that was all the Phillies would muster. 5-3, Phillies lose last night. It was one of those games where you didn't have it. You had some things, but you didn't have the big hit. You didn't have a shutdown performance from your starting pitcher. You didn't have some incredible outing from your bullpen. Connor Brogdon allowed a run. And more importantly than anything, you couldn't get the big hit. That's where the opportunity really left the Phillies. If you're telling me Bailey Falter is getting you six innings with three runs, I'm feeling pretty good about what your offense can do in that scenario. And unfortunately, they just could not get the killer. They couldn't get the big hit for themselves to actually get the W. It is what it is. I hate that phrase. I maybe use it once or twice a year, but this is in baseball. It is what it is. Couldn't get the big one. And I was feeling good after Sosa hit that home run. I was feeling pretty damn good after Sosa got to that home run because it was in the fifth inning where you had just allowed a couple of runs across the plate. Bailey Falter, they started to get the Bailey Falter after he was really cruising in the early parts of the game. And in that fifth inning, Kelnick ends up blasting that, 425-foot home run to the bullpen in center field. And then the Phillies, with Eddie Sosa coming up in the bottom of that inning, got a run back for his starting pitcher. I always love to see that. A little bit of a response. Don't give him that shutdown inning. And he didn't give him that shutdown inning. One thing I will say, and it affected both sides, is if you could tell me what the hell Laz Diaz's strike zone was last night, this isn't me speaking as someone who roots for the Phillies. This is me speaking as a fan of the sport of baseball. It's not why the Phillies lost by any means, but good God, man. Laz Diaz, I have no idea where his strike zone was last night. I was actually critical of Bryson Stott because I believe he worked a 3-1 count in the first inning, and there then were two pitches high and out of the strike zone. One was at the shoulder. That one was definitely a ball, and Bryson Stott swung at ball four, so you could have the leadoff runner on to start the game fine. But then he swings at another pitch that's also above the zone but a little closer, and I'm like, oh, he just swung at ball four twice. Come on, man. And Bryson Stott ended up grounding out in the at-bat. But as the game went on, I'm watching Laz Diaz's strike zone, and he's calling some of those pitches that were right at those same spots for Bryson Stott. He's calling them strikes that players are taking. So it's like if you're a hitter, you're at a huge disadvantage if above the letters and at the shoulders is going to be a strike, then you got to be hacking at some bad pitches. And I don't know how the Phillies did last night in terms of, I don't know how they did it in terms of getting any hits last night, but a guy that came up big and a guy that I think deserves a lot of praise is Christian Pache. Because this was a deciding factor for a lot of people talking about Kevin Long and what he brings to the table here. You've seen Marsh take a step forward, of course, big step forward. You've seen Bryson Stott improve. You've seen Alec Boehm do well and all this. Now, Nick Castellanos, he's not knocking the ball out of the park, but man, he's hitting the cover off the baseball when it comes to hitting in the gaps. And you're seeing the way he's starting off the season, which is incredible. Power numbers, I'm sure they will come. I will have confidence that they will come. But Christian Pache getting another two hits last night, hitting now, what, 368 on the young season? This is a guy that couldn't figure 348, excuse me. This is a guy that couldn't figure it out in Atlanta. This is a guy that got playoff at bats in Atlanta, all right? Couldn't figure it out in Atlanta. Couldn't figure it out in Oakland. Phillies take a flyer on him. And here he is hitting 348 for you in your lineup, playing sparingly, and by the way, covering a ton of ground in left or center field, wherever they decided to put him. He made two plays in the outfield last night. One was a great running catch, and the other was a phenomenal play that probably would have been a double either way, but he still, the way he got to that baseball, almost had held Suarez to a very long single. I think John Kruk during the broadcast made the point that if Pache wasn't running so fast to his left and had to gather himself, if he didn't have to gather himself, maybe you're holding Suarez to a single, or maybe you're even throwing him out at second base. But he covered a hell of a lot of ground, including taking extra bases away late in that ballgame with a great diving grab that he had in left field. So you knew you were going to have offense, or you knew you were going to have defense from him. The question was whether or not you're going to get any offense. And so far, over his last couple of games, he's been getting you some offense. So that's great to see. And again, the guy I give credit to, I give credit to the player. Looks like he's putting in work. Looks like he is enjoying the fruits of his labor. But I also give a lot of credit to Kevin Long. This is the first time he got his hands on him. He all of a sudden has him as a 348 hitter. Let's keep that going. So Phillies lose last night, unfortunately, 5-3. They'll be back at it tonight. 6:40 start time, another 6:40 start time. Big fan of these 6:40 start times, by the way. So we'll be back at it tonight for game two against the Mariners. Taijuan Walker gets the start against Logan Gilbert, who was supposed to go last night. They shuffled the deck, and now they got Gilbert against Taijuan Walker tonight. Hey, are you sick of hearing the name Bijan Robinson? Are you sick of hearing the name Bijan Robinson? Because I am not sick of hearing the name Bijan Robinson. Because Bijan Robinson, ladies and gentlemen, has now moved into my number one spot for being a Philadelphia Eagle. And there's a specific reason why. Now, this was framed in a way where I believe he said on Rich Eisen he wanted to play with Jalen Hurts. They asked him yesterday, and I'll play it for you on ESPN, the same question, but with a little bit of a different caveat. And they said, you know, if he could play with anybody except Patrick Mahomes, who would it be? And well, he says the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's that exchange yesterday on ESPN with our friend Dan Orlovsky. Take a listen to this.
If you could pick any quarterback in the NFL to line up with and go play with, who would it be?
Shoot, there's a lot of great quarterbacks.
You got to pick one, and you can't say Patrick.
Jalen Hurts.
Nice. Hey, yeah. what would that look
I'll
like?
I'll say, hold it real quick. If you went to Philly, I would pick you to be the offensive rookie of the year because of the zone read.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
First up, love Bijan in the Old Spice t-shirt there. I had to hog some Old Spice. Don't blame him even a little bit. And it's very interesting. Look, when Dan Orlovsky was like, you're going to be offensive player of the year. I believe that to be true. I know that we get caught up in all these draft philosophies, but man, oh man, if you're staying at 10 and Bijan's there, or if you're trading back to, I don't know, 12, 13, and Bijan's there, you gotta take him. Is it wrong? Sure. Philosophy? Sure. But what about the philosophy of taking the player that is going to come in and have the biggest impact. If Jalen Carter's gone, if Will Anderson Jr., which is, as we talked about yesterday with Rob Ellis, is the pipe dream of pipe dreams, right? If all that happens, Bijan's sitting there, and you're, what, are you going to take Skoronski? No. You're going to take Miles Murphy? You're going to take Lucas Van Ness, who we get into in the conversation with John McMullen? Are you going to take a guy like Christian Gonzalez, who's not going to play in a couple of years? Are you going to take, and I like all these guys, Devin Witherspoon, are you going to take, not going to play for a couple of years? Are you going to take those guys? Or are you going to take a guy that is an immediate impact player and would be an immediate impact player on a lot of teams, but would even be more immediate and more of an impact running behind this offensive line with these other offensive weapons? I mean, come on! I would love to see a dominant offense. I mean, we have seen a dominant offense. I mean, you got Jalen Hurts. You got a runner-up to the MVP award. You got a guy that helped carry you to a Super Bowl. You got a pretty damn good offense. Now you throw Bijan Robinson in there. Forget about worrying about Rashad Penny. Oh, pots and pans. Forget about worrying about whether Kenny Gainwell can handle a bigger workload. Ooh, baby. It's an instant impact, and he immediately makes your team better. If that's not what you're supposed to get in the first round of the draft, I don't know what you're supposed to get. But he's a running back. He'll only last like 4 or 5 years. Yeah, you know, it's not right. But damn, you got 4 or 5 years on the contract to Jalen Hurts here. Those are 4 or 5 years that you're not going to be worried about what Jalen Hurts is handing the ball off to in the backfield. The closer we get, I'm on the Bijan bus, my friends. And here's another thing. We've talked a lot about culture in the NovaCare complex for the Eagles. We've talked about how much that matters to recruiting players. It's no different with draft picks. I know they're not having an option of where to go, really, unless you're like Eli Manning or something. But they're looking at it very similarly. If they're visiting, they're looking around saying, what's the culture like here? And this is what sold me on Bijan Robinson. Wasn't Howie. It's not necessarily Jalen Hurts. It's not any of the players. The janitor at the NovaCare complex. Here's Bijan Robinson when he was asked about what his trip was like to Philly.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was great. I mean, with both teams that I was with, you know, just even building relationships with the coaches, the support staff, the GM, even the janitor, like, the janitor was super cool too. Yeah. It was like an awesome visit. And for me, like, I pride myself in relationships and building those relationships and understanding who people are. So even when I was at the Eagles, at the Buccaneers, and even just talking to other teams as well, it's been such a fun process, understanding who those people are and just having a good time throughout the whole process. But yeah, it was a good time there. But obviously, I can't choose. And, you know, Thursday, we'll just have to see what happens.
The janitor. You know, this whole time we've been talking about Howie Roseman, how great he is. He was called the greatest GM in the NFL recently by NFL.com. And you're talking about how great Howie is, how great Jeffrey Lurie is, right? The culture in the locker room by Jalen Hurts, Jason Kelsey being a great leader, Lane Johnson being a great leader, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, all these guys being great leaders. And the whole time, it was the janitor? The whole time? What is the janitor's name? I looked. You're damn right I looked. They don't list him on front office. There's a lot of people in the front office. They don't list the janitor. Whatever that janitor's doing, you know what he does? The janitor closes. The janitor closes deals. Right before they FaceTime with Jalen Hurts to let him know his contract was signed, sealed, and delivered, you know what they did? They FaceTime the janitor and said, does this look right to you? And he's mopping. I'm sorry, did I say janitor? Master of the custodial arts. He goes, yeah, that looks good. Or she, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if janitor is a man or woman. I should say that. I don't know. There's something about, and this is any job I've ever had, from college to whatever. The way people are with the people that aren't necessarily involved in your everyday activities. The way people are around people that, like the janitor, for example, in this case, when I've worked on the Sunday Night Crew and Fred Gundelli, who I still admire to this day, the producer of Sunday Night Football, and he later did Amazon Prime, and now he's taking an executive role. But like, he would talk to everybody. Like, at least a hello, like an acknowledgement that you exist. And this guy's talking about having a great experience with the janitor. That shows me leadership qualities that are off the charts. That shows me maturity levels that are off the charts. And if this is a movie draft day, this is nobody went to his birthday party, but people went over here to talk to the janitor. Okay, I like that guy. That would be part of the movie. I love it. He talked to the janitor and had a great experience enough to talk about it on ESPN during an interview. Find that janitor, man. I want to interview that janitor. I need to talk to that guy. The Eagles probably getting flooded right now with requests to speak to their janitor. Master of the custodial arts, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get more into the... All right, I usually wait for the chat check, but I'm looking at Jacob right now. Sean Kilrain, the janitor is Chip Kelly. Huh? Let me tell you right now about the great people at Steven Singer. Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. For over 40 years, Steven Singer's been in the love business, helping people get engaged and fall in love. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, perfect price, online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's jump on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line, talk to our friend John McMullen about all things Eagles and all things NFL draft. Joining us right now, the Rothman Orthopedics guest line from Jacob Media, from Sports Illustrated, and from Birds 365, which you can catch from 8 to 10 for the Jacob Media people, all things Johnny Mac, John McMullen. What's going on there, John?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mark?
I am doing fantastic, and I am very curious. I talked to Rob Ellis yesterday. I'd like to talk to you today. I talked to Rob about the buzz on Sports Take. I'd like to know the buzz on Birds 365. When people bring up this name,
yeah. Ah.
Did you even see my lips form the letter B, or did you just know? Did you just know it was Bijan Robinson?
I just knew. I considered changing the name of the show to Bijan 365 for the draft season. Look, they're not taking him. And by the way, Mark, I hope I'm wrong, because people think, like, I don't want them to take a running back. Number one, I don't care who they take. But number two, I would love to never have to talk about the Eagles not taking a running back moving forward. So from that perspective, I would love for them to take Bijan Robinson. They're not taking Bijan Robinson.
Let's pause it right there. So you would love for them to take him simply to dispel what has been the trend, or because he would be that much of an impact on the Eagles offense?
No, but he's not a bit for this team, because I think what people don't understand is, you know, the impact of Jalen Hurts on the Eagles running game. What makes the Eagles so effective, and they were number one, Mark, in the NFL in rushing out of 11 personnel, so three receivers on the field, number one in the entire NFL. And that's not because of Miles Sanders. It's not because of the offensive line's a big part of it. But the guy who runs it is Jalen Hurts, because everybody is freaked about him pulling the football and coming out the backside. It just affects the defense. So what it's about for the Eagles is spacing and manipulating the front. And they want to base light fronts. So how do they do that? They put an extra receiver on the field. All of a sudden, they're effective running the football. They don't need Bijan Robinson because of Jalen Hurts. So I go all the way back to 2017. The Eagles were going to take a running back, and that was Christian McCaffrey. If he fell to 14, they were going to take him. Albert Breer reported this 5 years after the fact. So now, finally, thank you, Albert Breer. Finally, people will believe it. They were going to take Christian McCaffrey. Two things about that, Mark. It was about the passing game. Christian McCaffrey is maybe the best pass-catching running back, certainly of the generation, maybe ever. he could have played wide receiver if he wanted to. And his father was actually a tremendous receiver.
Yeah.
That's why the Eagles were interested. But even two things about that. It was a different offense, Carson Wentz, more traditional. With this quarterback, they don't need, they wouldn't have drafted Christian McCaffrey if he could fast forward. They wouldn't be interested in it today. The reason they're not drafting Bijan Robinson is because they have Jalen Hurts. And I go back to Nick Sirianni twice. We're not taking away Jalen's superpower. That's what he's talking about it. And last week he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically it. We're not paying him more to do less.
Okay.
They don't want to just hand the football, turn around and hand the football off. That's not what they want to do. So no on Bijan Robinson.
Gotcha. All right. So I'll ask the question that I've asked everybody. If you are standing next to Howie Roseman and that I'll just say this, the 10th overall pick asset rolls in. So not necessarily at 10, maybe at 8, maybe at 12, give it some leeway there, depending on if the Eagles decide to move or not. If Howie Roseman's standing next to you and he looks at you and he goes, John, I'm not really sure. What should I do here? Who do you want the Eagles to take? Who do you think would be the best fit, the best possible pick? Let's put it that way. Best possible pick for the Eagles around that 10 spot.
I think Jalen Carter would be one of the easiest picks Howie has ever made. If he somehow falls to number 10, but I do not think he will. So I think that would require Mark sort of a bit of a trade up. Targeted trade up, similar to last year when he moved up for Jordan Davis. If he starts to fall a little bit, I think the Eagles would consider it. So I put him off to the side, Jalen Carter. Then you have sort of this group, Nolan Smith, Lucas Van Ness, Peter Skoronski, Paris Johnson, even Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback. I think that's the group you're talking about. Now, you know, it's funny, every year I kind of whittle it down and then I try to, I got one Eagle. He gave me Cam Jurgens last year. So whatever he tells me, I'm that's who I'm picking. And I'm contacting him later today.
Okay.
Now, whoever he tells me I'm picking, but that's the group. And every year when I whittle it down to this group, there's one guy Eagles fans hate, and that's Lucas Van Ness for whatever reason. Let's be honest, you know, the vast majority haven't seen him play. But for whatever reason, Eagles love him, though. Love him. So those are the five names I think you should focus on. Nolan Smith, Lucas Van Ness, Peter Skoronski, Paris Johnson, Christian Gonzalez.
Okay. Is it the Lucas Van Ness thing? Is it, I mean, I understand he hasn't played a lot. I understand he's young. To me, that sounds like a guy that can grow with your defense, you know, your defensive line can grow with your edge rushers over the course of a long period of time here. And the guy is just massive. He's a huge human being. I like him. He's not in my top five, but he's teetering on 6'7" when it comes to a guy like him.
Well, and, you know, last week, Howie didn't give up a lot, but I think you should pay attention when he was talking about age of prospects. Lucas is 21. You have this COVID sort of guys playing more time. Britton Covey was 25 as a rookie. There are some older rookies now because of the pandemic. And what Howie said is, remember, you can't gauge a 21-year-old like a 25-year-old. And he mentioned, you know, those guys are going to get faster, stronger. You get them in an NFL weight room. He mentioned 20%. Lucas Van Ness is already a physical freak, and it's only going to get better as he gets older. The Eagles know that. So put an asterisk on when he was talking about that.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I think it's the same could apply for guys like Christian Gonzalez, another young guy. Who else is out there? When you talk about the cornerback position, you have Devin Witherspoon.
Devin who's also Witherspoon, a young
guy.
Yeah.
Another young guy. Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. Corner's an interesting one to me from the perspective of they don't need a corner right now.
Right.
But Slay is 32. You know the contract issues they had already. Bradbury's going to turn 30. And that's kind of like the Eagles have been pretty smart when it's not just about this draft. It's about, you know, 2024, 2025. But boy, at 10, can you really take a guy who's not going to play? Because,
right,
barring injury, he's not going to play if Christian Gonzalez falls. But if he falls and he's the best player, I do think they would take him. I do think. I don't think they'd take Witherspoon.
Okay.
Gonzalez, yes.
All right. Now, I've asked everyone this question as well. Do the Eagles pick? Do they make two first-round selections on Thursday night? Are they going to be using that 30th pick?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, go back to last year. They had three first-round picks. They took one. And it wasn't at the spot it originally was going to be. They moved up to draft Jordan Davis. They moved out of the first round because they were still concerned about Jalen Hurts, as funny as that sounds right now. And they traded for A.J. Brown. Howie likes to move. And he's got that big donut, Mark. You know, on Saturday, we're all going to be sitting there. We can show up 4 hours late as it stands now. Because they have nothing in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. I don't think he can sit that long. He wants to add picks, and the most logical way would be to drop down from 30, which I think he would like to do. Most teams have 15 to 20 real first round grades. So if you're sitting at 30, you could probably get the similar player. If you can drop down to say 35, 37, even 40, and get something extra, it probably makes some sense.
We listened to Jalen Hurts now 2 days ago address the media. You were there at the press conference. He was there with his inner circle. A lot of Eagles receivers were there. Nick Sirianni, obviously, on hand. I can't help but feel like this, John, and man, I feel like such a fanboy when I say it, but damn, I feel like the Eagles are in great hands with Jalen Hurts for the foreseeable future. Not just what we saw on the field, which is the most, you know, important, but this guy just seems so well put together, and you hear Nick, Jeff Lurie talk about it all the time. He's shocked the guy's 24 years old. He's very much wise beyond his years. I mean, really, how confident and how bright are you in this Eagles future?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about this. What struck me is how competent everybody is about, you know, giving $250 million to a 24-year-old. And I agree with them. Like, I don't even worry about it. If you give it to me, I'd be going nuts. and I'm kind of mature. But, yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing just how mature and how focused he is. It's rare. You know, I was just talking to Mike Sielski. You know, he wrote the book on Kobe Bryant. I always say, don't practice hero worship, whether it's a politician, a celebrity, a sports star, Mark Barzetta, you're going to be disappointed. John McMahon, you're going to be disappointed. We're all human beings. And so is Jalen. And, you know, he's got the Gucci suit and he's going to spend some money and he's going to enjoy himself. But he's so focused. He's so disciplined. You know, Jeffrey Lurie's the one doing it, and he doesn't seem worried about it. And I can't disagree with him. And that's the biggest compliment I can give to Jalen Hurts. It's not going to change him. I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah, there's just something about him that just, it makes me, I'm buying. Let's put it this way. That's the easiest way I can put it, is I'm buying. Whatever he's selling, I'm buying. I got a lot of confidence in him and the Eagles' future with him at the helm. One more thing on the draft here, John. You mentioned a couple of names there. Skaronski is, I think, the guy that a lot of people would look at and go like, well, not a sexy pick, but at least I get it. He's an offensive lineman. He'll play for years. And with Stoutland University, he'll play for years and all that stuff. And he'll play at a very high level. I get that. The cornerback situation, as you laid out, it's not a sexy pick either, because he doesn't play right away if he ends up getting picked here. What's your confidence level in the Eagles doing something that will be a big splash on Thursday night, whether that be a trade for a proven commodity, a player now, like they did with AJ Brown last year, or what is it that they'll make a big splash with by making a selection? Will this be something that we look at and are wowed by with what Howie does in this first round?
It's a good question. I can't believe they're going to go into the season with Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds and Nicholas Morrow and N'Kobe Dean. They have to add talent at those positions, but they're not positions where you're going to have first round picks in. That could indicate trade somewhere along the line. So I never say never when it comes to splash. He's not going to acquire Devin White. He's not going to acquire Derrick Henry. Buda Baker's the obvious. You know, I brought up typically when I call it the big name trap. I got that from Joe Banner, so I'll give him the credit. But typically when you give me the big name trap, I say no 97% of the time. Buda, I was like, I would think about that, because he's a top five safety in football. So he's sort of like AJ Brown at his position. Problem is the defense the Eagles play. Like, Buda's a versatile, sort of Malcolm Jenkins like safety, moves all over the place. In theory, Mark, the Eagles don't want that now. They want the covered safety, the Vic Fangio. They don't want that moving part. So I don't necessarily see it as a fit. But then I come back to, look, if you think you game the system and you can't use Buda Baker, well, you got a problem with your coaching staff. You got to change your philosophy. So would I do it? Yes. Would the Eagles do it? I don't know.
All right. I'll write that down as a maybe. Last thing I'll ask you here. Have you cracked the code yet on Sean Desai? I'm trying to figure out what exactly everyone's talking about. Oh, it's going to be just like Jonathan Gannon, same philosophy. That's what the Eagles want to do. What are you expecting to see from Sean Desai and whatever defense the Eagles do give him in terms of the personnel going into the next season?
Same defense, same philosophy, I should say. If anything, Jonathan Gannon is further removed from Vic Fangio than Sean Desai. Sean Desai is an actual Vic Fangio disciple. Mm-hmm. I mean, he coached under him. He was his right-hand man at one point. Jonathan Gannon just, like Brandon Staley, who liked the defense, who coached with Vic Fangio. So he was sort of like too removed. They're gonna run the same philosophy. Now, it's very similar to the offense, if you think about it, from the change in play caller from Nick Sirianni to Shane Steichen. It's always going to be a little bit different, but it's the same philosophy. Maybe Sean's better at situations. Let's be honest. Shane Steichen's a better play caller than Nick Sirianni. I'm sorry, Nick. He's a better play caller. He was a better play. Same offense. He's a better play caller. Maybe in the moment, Sean Desai's better on third and 13. He likes to overload one side a little bit more. Maybe that looks better, especially if you get Nolan Smith, say. Could you imagine overloading Hassan Reddick and Nolan Smith on one side? people would love that. But same philosophy, limit explosive plays, keep everything in front of you. It's not changing. I'm sorry, people.
Hey, were you part of the faction that got together for that news conference that where you all told Jonathan Gannon you wanted to fire him? Because that was mean, John. You media people shouldn't have done that.
I was talking to somebody at the Eagles about that. We both, you know, I think it was conflating.
Yeah.
You know, Angelo, your old buddy Angelo.
People, oh, yeah.
You know, I've heard sports that guy, talk. Yeah. And, you know, fans with – and I said, yeah, he was. And certain people got upset about it. I didn't get upset about it. But you can't do that as a head coach. You can't embellish. You can't. And that's what he was doing. He was embellishing. He was, you know, you were never 9-0. You were 8-1. You certainly weren't plus 30 in sacks in the 10th game of the season. Mm-hmm. He led the NFL. All the things he did were impressive, right? He had the number two defense. He led the NFL in sacks. Just say that, mm-hmm. You know, don't embellish, but. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't talking about us, obviously. And, you know, the guy I was talking to said he liked us, the beat guys. But he heard what it tells me, Mark, is he heard the criticism. And he heard the people calling for his job, and he was pissed off about it. And every once in a while, you got to see it. Hassan Reddick. My favorite Jonathan Gannon moment, and people know I got along with Jonathan, but my favorite JG moment was he was talking about Hassan Reddick, and he was having this great year, and it was late in the season. And he said, boy, I didn't drop him so much, he'd probably have 25 sacks. And that was kind of a dig at the people criticizing him. Mm-hmm. He never dropped less in his career, and he knew that. But nobody else knew that. Some of us did.
Let me understand something. Hassan Reddick had never dropped into coverage less than he did last year.
Yes.
That was a career low, the amount of times he was dropped back into coverage.
Career low.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I am surprised to learn that.
Career low.
I would have thought it was the opposite, career high.
And he was tweaking people a little bit, saying, because that was the narrative.
Wow.
And he had never dropped less in his career, and obviously had a career year. Look, he was here for 2 years. I was fair to him when he was here. I'll be fair to him now. He had two top 10 defenses. I think Jim Johnson had two or three in his entire career here. He had two in 2 years. But it's a different era of football. And I think the Eagles fans who don't like it just don't understand the changes in the game, to be honest. I mean, in this era, with all the teams, and I think there were 12 teams that played the Fangio-style defense last year, too many. The Eagles did it the best. They did it the best, but they came up. The only difference between 2017 and last year was one stop, Brandon Graham. If they get the one stop this year, the whole narrative changes.
Yeah. I was waiting for that one stop in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that much. John, I know you're a big basketball fan. Let me just close with this. Will the Sixers get past the Celtics? Will it happen? Please. No. Oh,
I'm sorry. No,
you don't have to apologize.
That team owns them to begin with. And I don't even know if Joel, that scares me. I mean, the way they're talking about Joel Embiid, I mean, they have no shot without Joel. But I don't think they have much of a shot with them, to be honest. Boy, I mean, and I know we got to go, but Jason Tatum, Markelle Fultz, boy.
I don't care what anybody says. I really don't. Like, Jason Tatum was never available.
Yeah.
One comes before two, and one comes before three.
And they're probably right. And they're probably right, by the way.
Yeah,
you know, maybe. But I look at that. You think about what could have been, force Boston to do it. You know, who knows? Maybe they're not comfortable because Fultz was the guy, right?
Yeah,
and they weren't comfortable, which is kind of why they did it. And I look at, you know, Jimmy Butler as we're taping this last night. You know, giving the team to the children, I like to call it, instead of Jimmy Butler. That was a mistake. You know, Bridges trading him. What could have been, Mark?
What could have been. John McMullen, thank you so much. Check him out, Birds 365 on Jacob Media, following this program at 8 o'clock. So make sure you guys check that out. Read everything he does on Philly Voice. Read everything he does with Sports Illustrated. It's fantastic. John, you're doing a fantastic job, and I hope to talk to you later this week through the Jacob Media people when we do our draft show on Thursday.
Looking forward to it, Mark.
The great John McMullen joining us on the Ruffman Orthopedics guest line. The great John McMullen, Johnny Mac. Let me also say that for those that are new to the show, those a lot of people on the Jacob Media platform there, we tape the interviews the day before. So I don't wake people up at, you know, 6:20, 6:30 in the morning and say, come on my show. We tape. So that was before we taped that interview, before I fell head over heels in love with Bijan Robinson. At like 10 or 12 or 13, maybe. Certainly at 30. And I don't think the Eagles are going to pick at 30. I've been saying that this whole time. But maybe they do, if Bijan Robinson is still available at that point. But you talk to the janitor. We're boys. We're boys. Let me tell you about right now the great people at Manscaped. Manscaped.com, where you can use 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code Farzy. At manscaped.com, you'll love their incredible, their best hygiene bundle yet, their Platinum Package 4.0, which includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, oh yeah, that's right, as well as their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And they both come with skin-safe technology that helps you reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Try Manscaped at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code Farzy. How about Freestone Farm CBD? Freestone Farm CBD. FreestoneFarmCBD.com. You like CBD? You want to try a different CBD? How about Freestone Farm CBD? They grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State. So it's right across the river for those in Philly, or if you're in Jersey, it's in your state. So there you go. It's locally grown, local product. Freestone Farm CBD. You love the tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1%. And Super CBD, which is half Hindu.
Kush.
And 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. So try Freestone Farm CBD at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. How about PHL Sports Station, Philadelphia Sports Station, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsNation.com. Let's get into the chat check, ladies and gentlemen. See how you find people are doing on this fine Wednesday morning. I'm going to start over on Jacob today. See how you guys are doing on Jacob. Sean Kilrain, good morning. Sean Anderson, good morning. Scoozy. Sean Anderson, hello. Ball for what? Same old G, capping with coworkers. Sir, this is a Wendy's. Philly girl morning. Hey, Philly girl. Good morning to you. Sean Kilrain, told you Farzy, draft Bijan Robinson, right? Please, he's destined to come here. Let's go, Howie. Let's go, janitor. Howie does that. It's all the janitor. Schmoozing people coming into the building. You know what I'm saying? Gotta love the janitor. Was super cool. Bijan said we'd look awesome. Oh yeah, Sean Kilrain. Bijan is having another Hurts. It's like having another Hurts the way he talks to you. Absolutely. Philly girl is laughing at Sean. Sean Gillespie, janitor would be the perfect job for Chip. No personal interaction, primarily in your own world. Only if working on the late night shift, though. That's true. Let's see what else we got. Yacht. What's up, Yacht? Ice tray. Damn right. Ice tray. Who goes number one? I'm going to go Stroud. Stroud goes one. Yeah. It doesn't affect the Eagles that much, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. Victor Hernandez still cracking up, master of the custodial arts. If you know, you know. All right. And if you haven't done your homework, and if you haven't watched the amazing Dave Chappelle movie, Half Baked, then you need to consider it a homework assignment. Yacht Panthers take which player? My guess is Stroud goes one. Yacht, there you go. Right wants Stroud. Right wants Stroud. Victor Hernandez, if an above-average running back like Sanders can post an excellent season in this system, imagine what a top-notch guy like Bijan Robinson can do when people are focused on Jalen Hurts. See, here's the counter-argument. And everything John said is correct, and I agree with. But I also would add that, yeah, you're paying all this money to Jalen Hurts. I want Jalen Hurts to be the, in case of emergency, break glass, Jalen Hurts brings you back and you win a game in the fourth quarter. But if I can make everything easier for Jalen Hurts with that contract, including taking less hits and like handing the ball off to a guy like Bijan Robinson, who's going to get you a 15-yard gain, whatever, or could break the big touchdown or catch a ball downfield rather well also, then I'm going to take pressure off my quarterback, and then I'm going to keep having that guy that could be the emergency break glass guy. He'll be the big red button. Nothing else is working. Activate Hurts. Touchdown. Don't think Reich wants Bryce Young. Too small. Yeah, Yacht, I'm with you. And am I saying your name right? It's not Yacht, right? All right. It'll be a while before the Birds pick high again. PJ, producer Jim, controls our Farzi show account. I agree. It's going to be a while, but with Howie and this janitor, you never know. Maybe the janitor calls other GMs and is like, no, Howie's got, no, you want to deal with Howie. It works out best for both teams. Farzi show, what's up? What's up, guys, over here? Mike Fucci, good morning. Getting fired up for the draft. April! Good morning, April. Mally, hello, Mally. What's going on? All the pleasantries, everybody. Fuji, Kevin Long is the Phillies version of Jeff Stoutland University. I concur. April, Phillies have to be better with runners in scoring position. They're just stranding people over and over. I concur. April, I'll never get tired of this. Bijan. Like John. Bijan. Get it? All right. Wants to be a part of the culture. I think he does. Looks like. What? Wait, looks like BJ has a old stool box cut. Let me get a look at this again. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was great. With both teams that I was with.
It's like kid in play, but he's got a bit of a.
If you could pick.
That's not a ponytail. It just when I look at that, I think a kid in play. Now that you mention it, the old school, yeah. Fuji, what's up? Mihai Sanchez, what's up, Mihai? Morning, Mark. Jalen Hurts is now a role model of mine. That's nice, Mihai. We're going to win a Super Bowl with him. Just don't know when. Where's Carson Wentz? Punching air? Carson Wentz, nowhere. Travis Ricklin, what's up, Travis? Am I saying that right? Rakeen, Travis, what's going on? Big trade. The first round move is coming, y'all. Just wait. I feel like we are going to have a big splash Thursday night. It might not be at 10. I think will be involving the 10th pick asset, as I've been referring to it, meaning they move up and they move back. But I think the bigger splash, I think, and this is also what I'm rooting for, but I think this is a good chance of happening as well. The Eagles use that 30th pick to get someone to help them now. I don't know who that is. I would love to see it as Buda Baker. I don't know who it is, but I think the Eagles use that 30th overall pick to get somebody that helps them win now. Just want to put it out there. Signing Patricia is the stupidest crap I've ever seen. Travis Rakeen, thank you. It seems odd. It definitely seems odd. All right. Go Sixers. What's going on? Gannon so butt hurt. He can't handle a little criticism on blitzing. What a wuss, Travis Rakeen says. Go Sixers. Better than average quarterback completed 70% of their passes. True. Just a teep. as I like to say. Manscaped keeps the bag looking and feeling awesome. All right. I should definitely read things out to my head, in my head, before I say them out loud. Sydney family, what's up, Sydney? And now we're going to Sydney family. We're going to a family account. Okay. Penny behind this line may stay healthy. I hope so. Mike Fuji, exactly, Mark. Take the pressure off Jalen Hurts. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Just the teep. I feel like you said something else as well. Oh, just said Farzi, my man. Well, back at you. Well, back at you. Nice to see you. 4133, the podcast. Hi. How can I get you on my podcast back over on Jacob? DM me, whatever. Hit me up on Instagram or something. I'm available. Yeah, thanks everybody in the chats. You guys are great as per usual. Much appreciated. Let's get to the morning rush. Brought to you by Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. Phillies back at it tonight. 6:40 start time against the Mariners, looking to win game two of this three-game series and then go for the series win on Thursday. Take no prisoners. You'll have Taijuan Walker on the hill for the Phillies tonight against Logan Gilbert of the Mariners. I said it at the top of the show. I'll say it again. I've always loved Trae Young. I've always loved him. I've never said anything of ill nature towards the young man. I love him, and I hope he has a wonderful career against the Celtics whenever he plays the Celtics, especially in the postseason, especially when it grants Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Two more days of rest to Joel Embiid before he's got to play a basketball game. Need all the rest he can get as he tries to recover from this knee strain that he's dealing with right now. So Trae Young, in case you missed it, just went off, absolutely off, in the fourth quarter last night, while Jason Tatum went 1-for-10 from beyond the arc throughout the game. So more of that, please. You saw the Celtics leading by 6 with about 3 minutes left in the game, and then Trae Young put a three-pointer in Al Horford's left orbital to pull the game within 3, and then after that, I think he hit 2 more threes, including the game winner from 30 feet out. Jaylen Brown, I believe, was on him at the time, and Trae Young just crossed midcourt, fired up that shot, nailed it, giving the Hawks the lead, and then obviously later the win. They'll be back at it, I believe, tomorrow night in Hotlanta, I think, is when they get things underway again in that series. Series now is 3-2. So, you know, just keep it going, Beb. Just keep it going. Run up as much mileage as possible on the Celtics before you go into that second round series, the dreaded second round series. And yes, it's tomorrow night, 8:30 start time in Atlanta. Celtics will look to close out the series in Atlanta. Meanwhile, the Hawks will look to force a game 7. Doesn't get much better than that. So that's what you got as far as basketball goes. So we'll all be crossing our fingers that we get good news later today. Sixers did practice yesterday. Embiid shot around a little bit. And hopefully we'll get some better news today on Joel Embiid and what is in store for the 76ers big man, as well as, I believe, the MVP of the 2022-2023 NBA season. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is The Farzi Show on The Farzi YouTube channel. Thank you so much. On the Jacob Media YouTube channel, thank you so much. Great hanging out with you guys as per usual. Jim Heider for this program did a wonderful job. Coming up a little bit later, you can watch Birds 365 with our friends Jody McDonald and John McMullen, who joined today's program. Be back with all things draft and hopefully a Phillies win tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Oh, and also see you tonight after the Phillies 6:40 game against the Mariners for the Phillies post-game show on the Jacob Media YouTube channel. See you guys.